And now my new guy is Lonnie Walker, who, if I could vote for him for MVP, I would.
He got a higher PAR in each and every game. Okay, when you start with -9, it's easier to get better.
The bad news may be that me loving your team could be the ultimate jinx.
Oh, no, no.
I share my lineup. I explain my reasons. You say, oh, that's great. You steal my best idea and wind up with more points than me. How are you copying me and getting more points? Welcome to the 9th episode of this season's EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Frankie Sachs, and we're looking forward to a big week after all three of us were really strong last week. But the flowers go to my co-host, Javi Cancedo, who had a really big week. Tell us about it, Javi.
Well, hello, everybody. Like I was saying offline before, I'm okay with the three of us playing well, as long as I play better than you guys. So I'm happy. I got almost 184 points. Basiliki got 167, you got 181. Basiliki, we're doing well.
T1 and T2 went great. Like, two players from Fenerbahce, Nigel Hayes-Davies and Marco Guduric, really sparked up the fire. And then T2 went great. I had some good points from my bench due to Mats Strazel, but T3 didn't go as well as I expected because neither Kendrick Nunn nor Devin Booker produced as much as they used to do in the rounds before. So they kind of slowed me down and didn't allow me to go over 108 points, which was the target I was hoping to reach. But we still moved up by, I think, 2,000 positions. So I'll say it's a win for me this week. Not a big victory, but still a win.
Speaking of big victories, why don't you tell us about the people who won our private league this week?
Well, yeah, it's from Greece again. Let's go, guys. We can do this. It's Aris Sotiropoulos. He averaged 224.45 credits. Wow, I might say at this point. Congratulations, Aris. Keep up the good work and more victories for Greece, I hope.
All right, before we start talking about what happened last week, I mean, we have to start about the record that was broken. Andy Ops hit 11 three-point shots. Impressive. Never done before. I would say that if I had to pick one player to break that record, it would have been Marcus Howard in a good day. And then Ops is just as good shooter as anybody else, I would say, in the world, right?
Absolutely. The only thing that's surprising about Ops breaking that record is that he usually doesn't get that many minutes or that many shots. On a good day, if he's getting the minutes, that's what he does. He makes three-pointers. He's as good as anybody in the world. And you watch it, it's more surprising to see him miss a three-point shot than it is to see him make one.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Sabaz Nebir was the one who realized first that he's closing to breaking the record. He said to Coach Herbert, "Coach, he's there, like, get him back in." Thankfully, Bayern had a good amount of lead that allowed Gordon Herbert to make adjustments, rest some players, give Andy Obst some more minutes to break the record. So it was real nice, and he definitely deserved that. I think both USA and Greece know a lot about how well of a shooter Andy Obst is, so yeah, no surprises there.
The race to MVP of November. There are three undefeated teams, Olympiacos, Paris, and Fenerbahce. That means that the three stars, Nigel Hayes-Davies, Milutinov, and T.A. Shorts, are clearly, let's say, the candidates to win the MVP, right? So is that in the back of their minds? Are they going to have a stronger performance because of that? Frankie, what do you think?
I don't think that the players specifically right now will have the MVP of the month in the back of their minds. I do expect those players to have strong performances just because they're red hot. Milutinov is playing his former team, and he's had historically some very big games. I believe he's been MVP of the round before, playing for Olympiacos against Partizan. TJ Schwartz every week is looking to prove himself as an elite EuroLeague point guard. And Nigel Hayes-Davies has just been red hot and looking to prove himself as one of the best players in the league and MVP candidate for the entire season. So I don't think that they're thinking about MVP of November, but I think all three are players that are worth having if you can afford them.
Well, I'm too glad I have all three of those in my team right now. Wow, good for me. Maybe out of these three, TJ Shorts is the one that might have this somewhere in the back of his mind, he's trying to prove himself because there were so many doubts about him coming into the EuroLeague, like he's too undersized to be this good for EuroLeague, even though he had success in previous years and previous competitions.
I can absolutely speak to that it probably is. There are a lot of doubters. I was one of them. I even said here that that I wouldn't have TJ Sharetz on my team. And I have not because I have a bias against him, just because each time it's worked out that somebody else. And Theo Maledon has been my guy. And of course, we know Martin Hermanson is my guy, but he's been hurt. And now my new guy is Lonnie Walker, who if I could vote for him for MVP, I would, but I don't think I could.
No, too early for that. Too early for that.
Well, Lonnie Walker is playing. He played amazing against Panathinaikos. And it's a very good, I mean, he got a higher PAR in each and every game. Okay, when you start with -9, it's easier to get better. But now it's not easy at all. Let's see what's the development. Another player that I like this week and I didn't buy because I cannot really trade centers right now, except Akshanli. He's doing well. He's playing 20 minutes, average in the last three games. The average is like 10 PAR. Good choice for, you don't have many good choices, let's say, as backup center. He plays turn two also, so maybe this is the week. The only problem is that, I don't know about you guys, but I have too many Fenerbahce players and having another one is maybe too much.
I had the same doubt with Nico Mannion because I wanted to get him on my team because he's been going really great since he joined Armani mid-season, but I already have two Milan players on my bench, so I thought that too much for a team that you're not 100% sure if they're going
to
win.
When I'm looking for a player, what I want is to find the marriage between opportunity and talent. Nico Mannion, you mentioned the talent we've always known, but he hasn't always had the right role. Now that he's come to Milan midseason, they're a bit handing him the keys. The injury to Balmaro, more opportunities. So I already had Mannion last week and I'm holding on to him. About Sanli, has been a champion, has gone abroad and played for Barcelona. The talent is there, the experience is there. Now the role is there. It wasn't the role we envisioned at the beginning of the season. We all thought Marjanovic would come in and be a dominant center. Instead, Sanli is starting, he's getting minutes, and he's 6 credits, I believe. So the only downside to him this week is that he is turn two. So if you get good production of your center turn one, then he may just sit on your bench. But as far as turning 6 credits on your bench, even at 50% of their value into something, instead of throwing it away and having it go up in value, I think that he's an excellent choice as your backup center.
There are two players who are doing absolutely great, Zach Lide and Nikola Mirotic. They're being amazing. I think they're top 5 this month in PAR. But now Siobhan Shields is coming back, so they're gonna see less playing time probably.
It's not just the playing time. Siobhan Shields will come back and he's going to take more shots, is going to be more involved in the offense. They're a better team for it. In real basketball, Milan's much better for having Siobhan Shields back. But as far as fantasy, it's going to eat away at both of them a little bit. The offense is going to be more diverse. And I don't even remember how much Mirotić costs, but it's 17-plus credits. That's a lot. That's a big risk to play against Fenerbahce. With Siobhan Shields coming back, I would be hesitant to have Mirotić because of that price this week.
Both of these players went through my mind this week, but the fact that they're playing against Fenerbahce and Mirotić will be probably playing against Nigel Hayes-Davis, like, made me kind of reluctant to go that way because, as Frankie said, his price is too high. So I prefer to give this amount of money for a good guard. Because also Petrušev is working really well and I didn't want to trade Nigel Hayes-Davis either, whom I bought last week because of Vezenkov's injury. So I didn't want to alter my choices there.
Javi, you started off talking about Zach Lide. Last week, they signed Freddie Gillespie, who will probably fit in. He was not registered in time for last week's game, but he should debut this week. That's more minutes coming away from the center position. It'll probably affect Lide, the rotation in general. So I would just be a bit nervous about almost all of those Milan players right now.
And a lot of players who are 5 credits and under played really well. Malta Delo played really well. Žiga Samar played really well. Jonas Matisek played really well. Vasiliki, what do you think? Is the time to buy these cheap Alba players?
If you have smashed the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge so far and you have the ability to make 1 and 2 big changes in your starting guys, then you can make adjustments on your bench. But on a regular week, when you don't have unlimited trades, if you wanna change heavy things with your main guys, it's not that easy.
The team that allows the most points in fantasy to opposing forwards is Maccabi Play Tikva Tel Aviv, which plays this week? Alba Berlin. Yeah, so maybe you may want to look at some of the Alba forwards. Gabriel Protzid is someone who comes to mind. Interestingly, the team that allows the second most points to opposing forwards is Alba Berlin.
So it should be a big fantasy game, that one. We'll see. All right, so I'll go first. Then I have to get Nigel Hayes-Davies, no matter what. That was my first priority. I think he's going to have a great game, looking for to be the MVP of the month. So I had to trade several players to actually fit in without trading Milutinov and Maledon, who are the other team leaders. So I traded Alec Peters. I traded Richie. And I traded... I think I'm going to regret that I traded Carson Edwards to make room for him. I also traded Coach Mateo. These are my four trades. Players in, Tarik Biberovic, Dominos Giedraitis, a couple of fantasy favorites here. I got Thiago Splitter as head coach. Paris plays at home. They won seven in a row. They play Virtus. It's not going to be easy, but I think they could get the win. And that way I could fit Hayes-Davies in. So that's more or less my trade. The team. I have three players playing turn one. Giedraitis, Žiga Samar, and Milutinov. Everybody else plays in turn two. So let's see what's going on. Frankie?
So I released three players in the coach. Like you, I released Coach Mateo. And also I looked for an upgraded center. So Jan Tunen from Paris, who has been solid, but I wanted a little bit more there. Alec Peters, hard to let go of, but I think that there's... I'm nervous. I'm nervous that Peters is going to have a huge week and this is a mistake to let go of him, but I made that decision. And Zagar is from Fenerbahce. My new players are... I'm bringing in Charas, which I was also a bit nervous. Part of the reason I'm doing it, I'm sure a lot of other people are going to be going for Splitter this week, but the reason I decided to go for Charas is because I think I can hold on to him for next week also, and the next week be able to make four player moves if need be. I was trying to look at a week ahead with my coaching moves. Roman Sorkin from Maccabi. We spoke before about forwards against Alba Berlin, and Roman Sorkin's been playing excellent lately, so I brought him in. You spoke before about other Alba players who have been cheap and very good, so Malta Dalau is new. And the big piece that I went for center, I've been struggling with my centers all year. I'm going all in on Milutinov in Belgrade against Partizan.
Okay. So the player I wanted to get this week was DJ Shorts, because as I said last week, I got him for the first time, but then Vazenkov was out. So I had to change my teams like another 20 times before finally deciding who I'm going with. So DJ Shorts was out. So this is the first time I have TJ Shorts on my team. I hope I don't have to make another change. So he stays there this time. So I got rid of Kendrick Nunn and Devin Booker because TJ Shorts was too expensive. Instead of Booker, I got Geoffrey Laverne from Villeurbanne. I think he has been playing really well since Sacco was injured and he hasn't found his steps back. He has the experience, he gets the minutes, so he's a very solid option. And as we have said before, there are not many great options for backup centers, so it's always a risk, but you have to take it. And apart from TJ Shorts, I also got Lonnie Walker. I hope I'm not too late to jump into this train. He played fantastically last week against Panathinaikos, and I think the only way is up. Because now he has the confidence, like everybody starts trusting him in the team. And from what I hear and from what I saw, he's very also humble and down to earth, which is also a benefit when you are new to a team that is fighting for something good. And I also got Andrea Trinchieri as my coach. I had to let go of Chus Mateo because she was too expensive and I wanted a cheaper option there. So Andrea Trinchieri is in. Zalgiris is playing at home against Baskonia. The Spanish team has been having some struggles. Zalgiris is a great team when they play at home. And I think they will try to build in this momentum after the big win they got against Panathinaikos. So that's it.
Vasiliki, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh my God. Let's start from the bad news.
It's the same news. I love your team. I think that you upgraded every position. It's four great moves. That's the good news. The bad news may be that me loving your team could be the ultimate jinx.
Oh, no, no. Frankie, I have to do well.
Some comments. So first, I like the fact that we have three different coaches. We were accused of always playing the coach that went against Alba Berlin. Not this week. We have three different coaches. None of them playing Alba Berlin. So
that's good for us.
Yeah, good. Second, Frankie, I'm sorry to say that I think I'm going to copy your strategy. because I'm thinking that maybe having Roman Sorkin and one of the other guys is better than having Giedraitis and Biberovic. So, I mean, it worked in the past when you told me about Tamir Vlad, and then I got him when he had a 30-something. Yeah, Vasilika, I really like your team. What can I say? I think you're favorite this week to win, unless we find a way to improve our team. Like I said, probably I'll get Sorkin in the end. What you said is, you convinced me, Frankie. What can I say? I mean, you talk about Alba Berlin and Maccabi being a high-scoring team, a high-scoring game. Sorkin, I put him in the tips of the EuroFantasy Challenge this week. He's averaging the last 3 weeks, 18 PAR. And what am I doing with Biberovic and Giedraitis, really? When I can get the Alba guy on Sorkin, so...
What I don't understand is, historically, for well over... Since we've begun the podcast, almost every week, I share my lineup, I explain my reasons. You say, oh, that's great. You steal my best idea and wind up with more points than me. How are you copying me and getting more points?
Well, I have to say, last season, if you remember, at some point I was 500 points behind you. So it's not really what you're saying. Maybe this season I'm playing better, but last season was horrible. It was. I remember when we started 2024, I beat him four consecutive times, and I still was 400 points behind. So it was horrible. Anyway, captains. Let's talk captains. Vasiliki, you go first.
Okay, so for T1, I'll go with TJ Shorts. I hope he has a good game for him at home to extend the win streak of Paris, to have a stronger case for the MVP of the month. So I'm really hoping he will do great this week. But if the plan doesn't work, then I have Nigel Hayes-Davies. He plays in T2. He was my captain last week, and he had, I think, the best score in my team. So I went with the greatest choice I could make. So maybe we'll go this route again this week. Frankie?
Is there any question? It's Lonnie Walker. Of course it's Lonnie Walker.
You had him as a coach last week too?
No, I had Maladon playing round two, turn two, and Walker was turn three. So I stuck with Maladon. This week, okay. It's the opposite. I've got Lonnie Walker turned one. He will be my captain on Thursday. And I've got Maladon turn two in case Walker does not put up a monster game. What's odd for me is that Milutinov is my most expensive player, and he is not going to be my captain. I have Jabari Parker, who's my second most expensive player, at least on turn two, and he's not, because I have Lonnie Walker. And I'm all on the Lonnie Walker train right now.
Okay, so since you mentioned Jabari Parker, I have a question. Will the signing of Raul Neto make Barcelona's lineup change, like decreases like the minutes of Kevin Panther or someone else? How would that work?
I think ultimately it might take a little bit away from Panther, but Panther will still get the bulk of the minutes as the scorer. It'll play more around the minutes of Satoransky and Nunez. And I don't think it'll be immediately either. I don't think he'll eat up too many minutes until they build some chemistry. So I don't know how well owned those players are, Satoransky and Nunez, or even Punter for that matter, that is going to affect that many players. But it is something to think about if you have any of those players or anybody else, Darío Brusela, anybody else in the Barcelona backcourt.
Yeah, I think Satoransky will see less playing time, which is terrible for me because you know Satoransky is one of my favorite players. I know him since he was 16 years old, and I only want good things for him. But if you ask me, Neto is a point guard, way more a one than a two. So it's going to be more about Nunez and Satoransky playing less playing time. We'll see. But so far, I think nothing's going to change. They're going to play the same until he suggests it. So in the short term, it's going to be no change, and then we'll see how well, in what kind of shape he is also, but he comes to fill Aprovítola's role. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll use two twin point guards at some point with Núñez and Sadranski and him, we'll see. And what else? I wanted to say something about Lonnie Walker, which is, I think you're taking too much of a risk, really. Okay, he's only four games into his yearly career. I know he played really well the other day, but isn't it too much to go for him like at this time of the year already?
Go big or go home.
All right, good. So, didn't tell you my captain. It's going to be, well, I have been looking up because I only have Ziga Samar, Sofagi Adriatis, who may go out, and Milutinov, so it's going to be Milutinov in turn one. Then after that, I went all in for Hayes Davis. Hayes Davis will be my choice in turn two. You make me think, Jabari Parker. I like every player you have. I don't know what's going on, but Parker is also in my recommendations this week in the fantasy tips. He played really well despite losing by 22. Metu is not around. He's going to play a lot. El Clásico is coming. He's going to be super motivated. Great choice. I like your team better than me. So my winning streak may be going to an end, seeing the way things are. We'll see.
All right, guys, that's all we have time for this week. Don't forget to tune in to the Rivalry Series game of the week. It's El Clásico, Barcelona-Real Madrid. There is no greater rivalry in sports, so make sure to tune in for it. And do us a favor, share the podcast, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, give us some feedback, and we'll be here next week to tell you all about how I beat Javier Vasiliki.